We will be in Mark 16, 15 through 18 this morning as we study the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. The Great Commission of Jesus Christ. Now, we as a body are called Grace Bible Church, but we're not a building. We are not a place, we are a people. We are composed of like-minded souls who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have decided to follow Him as we live this life. There's that song, "I have decided to follow Jesus." You know, I remember that time in my life when I made that decision to follow Jesus Christ. And you know, He's never let me down. He's been a wonderful Savior to me. But that's what we are. We're like-minded souls who have decided to follow Jesus as we live this life. Now, Jesus Christ has given to those who follow Him directions as to what to do. We're not just here to occupy space and to breathe God's clean air and to look at His beautiful sunsets, but we are to do, according to the Scriptures, this short time we are given on this earth to live. Now, in our passage for today in the Gospel of Mark, it is clear what those directions are, for Jesus gave to His disciples these commands. You know, we're not used to hearing that word command. Now, that's a military word. I was in the military for a number of years, and that was a common word. You know, I rarely heard from my superiors the word please. Would you do this? Would you like to do this? You know, I get so tired of parents who are asking their children if they want to get dressed today, or if they want to go to the store, or if they want to go to bed. What's happened to the word command, parents? But Jesus Christ commands, for He says in Mark 16, 15 through 18, "And He said unto them, please go." No please here. What's the matter with Jesus? He not polite? No, He's a commander. And He has all authority. So He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, those are strong, commanding words. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now that's words from our commander in chief. This and other passages relating to the commands of Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel are some of the most significant passages in God's Word. We need to obey these words. In Mark and in Matthew, this special calling from Jesus Christ to all His followers to take in His absence specific action while on this earth is the last recorded personal instruction given by Jesus to His disciples. You know how, have you ever been at someone's bed where they are passing away and you're listening for the last words? Nowadays, you don't hear many last words because they're sedated. But in the old days, you'd listen. What's the last words? Tell me. Well, these are the last words of our Lord to his disciples, and this action is described in the Gospel of Matthew this way, of Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, and now here he precedes what he's saying before he says, go. He is claiming his authority, for he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Can you imagine hearing that from the lips of a human being? Where he says, all power is given unto me. He just didn't say in earth, but he said in heaven. Now, I can imagine a Napoleon saying, all power is given unto me in earth, but no one claims heaven. And there he says, again, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Oh, and then he gives this promise. Oh, this promise is so wonderful. For he says, and lo, that means behold. Pay attention to this. This is so powerful in your life. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then he says, amen. Last words. Now here in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus declared his authority to give these directions to those who believe on him. These are commands to us as a body of believers, as Grace Bible Church, as the body of Christ. There's no limitation on his power to direct those whom he has brought about as new creations, those who have been born of the Spirit of God. We have been born of his Spirit, therefore we are his, and therefore we take commands from the Commander-in-Chief. Now, Jesus Christ is the creator of the new man, and as such, he uses his power to bring additional new creations into being. And these orders transcend the time of the disciples to whom this was spoken and reach to every disciple of Christ to include our time and the time to come until Christ returns to set up his kingdom. So this commission to teach all nations will then cease, for all the world will know Christ. That's the end result here. Now, Paul, whom we believe wrote the book of Hebrews, wrote of this in chapter 8, verse 11, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. That's what Paul said. There comes a time when we'll not teach. So in God's calendar, this time of preaching the good news to sinners is limited and verifies the scripture that says to everything there is a season, and that includes the preaching of the gospel. There's a season to this. Now, we've been in this period for almost 2,000 years. That's older than all of us. I mean, you could add all our ages together, and I think it's older than all of us. Well, if we exclude a few of the older folks. But that's a long time ago. We've been doing this for 2,000 years, and by the look of the corruption and unbelief that is rapidly spreading on the earth, it appears that the time of harvest is near. No man knows the hour nor the date. You know, we just went through a century of trouble. We went through a century where millions and millions were killed. We went through a century where there were gas ovens and people were herded into the gas ovens thinking they were showering, and they were gassed by the millions. We've gone through troubles. Is this the time to look up for our redemption draws near? It may be, but we are still in the age of God's grace. And this is still the age whereby God's disciples are sent ones, for we are to occupy till he comes. Now, that does not mean occupy in your easy chair. Now, as I get older, that old easy chair sees me a lot. I mean, I can do a little bit here, and then I got to go sit down. I can do a little bit here, and I got to go sit down, but I can do a little bit. I can still do a little bit. So we're still in the age of grace. Yes, perhaps the harvest is near. Perhaps the Lord will come today. But we're still to occupy till he comes. Now, other scriptures where Christ speaks of this are in Luke 24, 46 through 47. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The command again. And in Matthew 9:37 through 38, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. You know, but the laborers are few. That hasn't changed in 2,000 years. We've got people sitting in the barn. They're sitting in the barn when the harvest is ready. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And in John 20:21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So there's an example. God sent his Son into the harvest. And his Son said, I'm going to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm going into the harvest. I'm going into the fields. And in Isaiah 6:8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. You know, when you're in the military and that said to you, who should go for us? Never raise your hand in the military. But in God's army, we're supposed to raise our hand. Here am I, send me. And Christ's departing words in Acts 1, 7 and 8, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, why is that? Well, you know, if we knew that the Lord is coming in 5 years, we'd stop occupying. We'd just sit down and relax. We'd go on the high hill and pitch our tents and wait for the Lord to come, which has been done many times. But he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, does that include the Antarctic? Yes. How about the Arctic? Yeah, that includes the Arctic. There might be a couple Eskimos. Go ye into all the world, the uttermost part of the earth. Now it is clear that the followers of Christ are to be sent ones, not sedentary ones, not idle ones, but sent ones. Each one who believes on Christ has a commission to do what Christ wants them to do. You've got orders. Now, there are 21 names listed in our missionary prayer book who this body of believers, who this small body of Christ have committed to financially and prayerfully support as they answer God's sending call. Every one of these missionaries has said, here am I, send me. I'll go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go. But these are not the only ones to pray for. For all of us are to be missionaries wherever we find ourselves. Now, it may be that God will send you to China or Africa or Russia. I don't know any missionaries to Russia, but there are. But you know, the Lord may send you there. He may send you to China. He may send you to Africa. He may send you to Russia, but he also may send you across the street. You know, sometimes we get so foreign country minded, we forget about our own local area. You know, God may send, he says, I want somebody to go across the street. Here am I, send me. For God's children are to be sent ones. We're to be sent ones. Now, when I was a young man, it was normal for men to be drafted into the military service of our country. It was normal. When you got to be a teenager, 18 years old, you know, I'm probably going to be drafted. You'd get that card from the SSS, I think it was Selective Service. Now that, of course, meant that you had no choice but to comply with your country's summons. They didn't say, who will go for us? They said, you will go for us. And you didn't, now you raised your hand, but it wasn't to say, okay, I'll go. It was to swear allegiance. It was a request. It was a command. Personal desires had to be forsaken for the good of the United States of America. That was the draft. Now, my heritage is seafaring. My father was a merchant marine. My grandfather was a machinist on ships. So I have a seafaring people in my background, and therefore I chose to join the Navy rather than to wait for a draft notice to be inducted into the Army. Now, I completed my college years, and I was eligible for becoming an officer in the Navy, and I took advantage of that opportunity. So lifting my right hand, I said this, I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and then these four wonderful words. So help me God. I asked for God's help. Lord, I'm going off to service of our country. I'm going off to defend this great country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Help me. Help me God. Now, that's a missionary's cry, is it not? Oh, you're sending me to Cameroon. Oh, Lord, help me. You want me to go to China? Never been there before. All the people are tiny. I'll be towering over them. Help me. So I then, as a 22-year-old young man, left all that I knew. I remember having a going-away party at my sister's house. Johnny goes off to war, marching off to war. Somehow you had to report into the base in Rhode Island at midnight or 1 o'clock. Can you imagine walking down those dark roads, lonely? What did I do? I've left all to serve our country. So I left all that I knew, including my wife-to-be, who was planning the wedding. And a specific date. I had to be there on a specific date, going off to training. And I placed myself under the authority of others who were committed to preparing me for service and accomplished the necessary training at a Newport where I was commissioned as an officer in the U.S. Navy. 4 months later, right on time, got my commission on Friday, flew home, got married on Saturday, flew out to Los Angeles on Sunday. You can do a lot when you're young and foolish. Nowadays, you'd say, no way am I going to do that. But in those days, we didn't even think about it. But you know, I felt this was my great commission. For officer candidate school was a grueling experience, both physically and mentally, but I now was ready to accomplish that which my commission gave me the right and power to accomplish. I was ready. Here's my commission. Now look at that. 52 years old, kind of dirty and wrinkled and tarnished and smells a little bit, sitting around the house for all those years. But that's my commission, and it's from the President of the United States. To all who shall see these presents, greeting. So we got this greeting from the President. Know ye that, reposing special trust and confidence in the patriotism, valor, fidelity, and abilities of Ludwig H. Opager, Jr., I do appoint him an ensign. Oh, that high rank of ensign. Got a gold stripe in the Civil Engineer Corps in the United States Navy to rank as such from the 14th day of July, 1961. This officer will therefore carefully and diligently discharge the duties of the office to which appointed by doing and performing all manner of things thereunto belonging. Boy, that's specific. That's specific. And I do strictly charge and require those officers and other personnel of lesser rank to render such obedience as is due an officer of this grade and position, and this officer is to observe and follow such orders and directives from time to time as may be given by me or the future President of the United States of America or other superior officers acting in accordance with the laws of the United States of America. What did that say? Those under me are supposed to obey me, and those over me I'm supposed to obey. Good deal. Now, this commission is to continue in force during the pleasure of the President of the United States of America for the time being under the provisions of those public laws relating to officers of the armed forces of the United States of America and the component thereof in which this appointment is made, done at the city of Washington the 16th day of September in the year of our Lord, 1963, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 188th. Now that was signed by the Chief of Naval Personnel and the Secretary of the Navy. That was my commission. So as a young man, these were my marching orders. I had committed myself to the United States of America to do what my country wished me to do, and I knew that included the laying down of my life, if that was a necessary thing to do. I knew that. So this was my commission. I now would become a sent one. I was in the pipeline for sending. I had yielded myself to the country to be sent wherever they wished to be sent. So believe it or not, the Navy thought it good to send this one who desired to be near the sea. I wanted to smell the sea. I wanted to hear the waves. So they sent me to a sealess place called Nebraska. To a Navy ammunition depot built during World War II, smack dab in the center of the country so they could supply two wars. Good idea. And also it was safe. It was thousands of miles away from the shores. That was my first lesson. I was sent. Now, did I say, I'm not going? I want the sea. No, yes. I just said, yes, sir, I'm going. My commission was to observe and follow such orders and directives as may be given by the President. So off we went, my new wife and I, to obey such orders as they were given. No questions asked. No questions asked. Bill, did you ever ask questions about where you went? No questions asked. And all those who name the name of Christ also have a no questions asked commission, rightly called the Great Commission, for there is no greater duty than committing oneself to the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No questions asked. Where do you want me to go, Lord? Well, you know, I've got some folks down there in the jungles of Peru. I don't like snakes. I don't like those old vines and briars. No, you say, yes, sir, I'm on my way. No questions asked. And as we see in our lifetime, many are being called to give their ultimate sacrifice in order to obey that commission. They too may lay down their lives to obey that commission. But the words that are written on my Navy commission are so apropos to God's commission. Just think about these in light of you folks that are laboring in the vineyards. This officer or this Christian will therefore carefully and diligently discharge the duties of the office of Christian, to which appointed, by doing and performing all manner of things thereunto belonging. Does that apply to you, Pastor? I bet you're doing things you never thought you'd be doing. And all those folks that work in the ministry, how did I get involved in this? Ben, you're doing things that you never thought you'd be doing, right? Yeah. Brenda, did you ever think you'd have a yard sale for the Lord? Huh? Oh, that applies to all of us as we serve in the vineyard. This is so true. For sent ones are to know that God can use all of us in all manner of things in this important commission. Yes, many are called to cross the world, but you know, many more are called to cross the street. But all are called. Now, the word commission, as defined in Webster's 1828 dictionary, is this: the act of committing or sending to, the act of entrusting as a charge of duty. The thing committed, entrusted, or delivered, letters, patent, or any writing from proper authority given to a person as his warrant for exercising certain powers or the performance of any duty, whether civil, ecclesiastical, or military, hence charge, order, mandate, authority given. So the Great Commission is God's charge or order or mandate to his people with proper authority and provision to carry out every order. You know, one of the things about the military is I never had to ask, well, you want me to go to Japan, which was our second duty station for 3 years. How am I going to get there? Do I have to go get an extra job to get the money to go there? Oh, you silly officer, you ensign, you, grow up. We'll provide for that. I didn't have to worry about how I was going to get to Japan. I had to be willing to go. And they provided. Well, that's what God has done. God's charge and provision to carry out every order. We don't have to worry about that. If God tells us to do something, he's going to provide. You know, we've been in this ministry now for 46 years. Mrs. Hobbs has been in this ministry for 60-some years. Somehow he's always provided. We've gone through some dark times. Oh, is the Lord going to provide this week? We got payroll. Oh, he provided. Somehow the money came in. I don't believe we've ever told a person in the ministry, you're not getting paid this month and you'll never get the check. Never. So the Lord has always provided to carry out his work. Now, Jesus Christ lived among men for 33 years. He walked the roads of Israel with faithful disciples for 3 of those years, learning the will of God from the Son of God. They learned the will of God. And in those last hours, before returning to his Father, he commanded these faithful disciples to take what they've learned. He's prepared them. Their college years was 3 years. To take what they had learned and teach all nations, going to them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So he prepared them. And with this commission, promising to be with them always, even unto the end of the world. He left with them a blueprint for a church that his followers were going to establish after he was gone, and that church was to be composed of all who were born of the Spirit of God by believing in God's Son. This commission was the believers' marching orders for the time between Jesus' first coming and his second coming, that period, that age of grace. It describes what you and I are to be doing during this long period. It has not been changed, and it is still in effect. We are to preach and teach all nations, to observe all things whatsoever Jesus Christ has commanded. These words are important, for they apply to all Christians at all times, during this age of grace, in all places, and in every possible situation. Now, you know, when I was in the military, our orders were subject to change. Somehow, perhaps, you got orders to a particular base somewhere, and you might get an alteration to those orders. But these orders have never changed. Jesus Christ speaks of all authority. He speaks of all nations and all commands in his presence there at all times. Since last speaking to his disciples, there has never been any alteration of this instruction, and it still applies in 2015. Never has any angel with corrected orders come down from heaven to change this commission, and until the kingdom comes, it will remain in effect. These are God's orders. Now, the last words of Jesus Christ were these orders, and as the last words, they were meant to impress upon our minds the doing of a continuing work for God. You know, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came for a short time, bringing the lost into the kingdom, but he departed after a short time of instruction, leaving those equipped to also bring in the lost. You know, it's a great privilege that God has included us in this great adventure. We're co-laborers with God. You know, God created all the things on the earth, and we're co-laborers in that. As we use what he has provided, you know, he didn't give us things like these pews. We had to take the raw materials and make these pews and all the things that we see from God's supply. God has put us into a co-laborship with him, and this includes that great commission. What a privilege this is. You know, it was uppermost in the mind of Christ, and it ought to be uppermost in our mind. Each and every one of us, each and every one who has been brought into the fold of Christ has been given this great commission. You know, we ought to take this personally. We ought to pray about it and pray that the Lord would help us to be obedient to this great commission. We are disciples who are to make other disciples who are to make other disciples. You know, God in the beginning, when he created the heavens and the earth, told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Now, he was establishing a principle of multiplication. Now, they were physical beings, and they were supposed to be fruitful and multiply. They were beings, and they were supposed to bring beings into the world, and they were supposed to bring beings into the world. This was the pattern in the physical. But in the Great Commission, this is the pattern of spiritual multiplication. We're to bring them in. We're to multiply. God is a husbandman, and everything he does involves multiplication. And God never intended to grow crops in the barn. He said the fields are white already to harvest. Fields are where the crops grow. But I'm afraid the church has decided to grow the crops indoors and think that multiplication takes place in buildings. Now, yes, we can have multiplication in this building, but the fields are where the multiplication takes place. That's where the greatest multiplication takes place. And Jesus said, go ye into all the world. And you may be called to go to Africa, to China, to Cameroon, to Peru, but you also can be called to go to the other side of the street and talk to those folks over there. Pray about them. Bathe your going in prayer, that when you go, you can speak for the Lord and bring the message of the gospel. Father, we are thankful for the Great Commission. We certainly need, Lord, to take this commission personally. Oh, how lax we can become, and so careless we can become in our witness for you. Help us, Lord, to be goers, whether it's across the world or across the street, but help us to do your will. Now, do bless our pastor as he brings the message this morning. Help him, Lord, to have the voice that he needs. Help him to be healed, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.